I also see standing in the back Dr. Jeff Thompson from Gunderson Lutheran, and I think I saw Jerry Arndt, there he is, also wandering around. I want to thank them for coming. Dr. Rob Nessie from Franciscan will be here closer to 6:30. He had a meeting that he had to be at. I think it was out of town, in fact, so he's going to get here as soon as he can. But I will call this meeting to order, and our clerk will take care of the roll call in terms of marking down who's here. We won't do that verbally in the interest of time. But what I want to do is to tell you what is going to happen tonight. The first thing is I will spend the first approximately half an hour giving you an overview of the history of ambulance service in La Crosse County and a history of the negotiations that have occurred on this issue over the past approximately year and a half to 2 years. After I am done, then the city, first the mayor and secondly Chief Fire Chief Cleveland, are going to talk more specifically about what their proposal is. And then finally, Matt Zawadzki from Tri-State is going to talk about the perspective that Tri-State has on where we are and specifically the status of ambulance service within this community and in this region. To some extent, probably we'll have some comments about the mayor's proposal. But tonight is not the end of it. The city has put together their numbers and has put together a slideshow that they can show you how things would work. We are not expecting that people are going to sit here and say, okay, I understand, now it's time to go. This is the beginning of a process, the beginning of a public process, and so there will be more meetings as necessary. Certainly at the City Council, when the resolution is introduced and goes through the City Council process, there is a public component of that. At the County Board, if the city passes its resolution, the County Board would then take action. We will also have a public component to that whole process. So we don't want people to think that this is being sprung upon you and here it is and guess what, we're voting on this tomorrow, because that is not going to be the case. this is my report to the county of my perspective on what has happened and where we are and perhaps where we are going. And I want to make a couple initial comments to start out. I had hoped that I would be standing here over the last few months. I had hoped that I would be able to tell you that we have an agreement and that everybody is on board, and here it is, isn't that great? Unfortunately, I cannot tell you that. But on the other hand, let me tell you this. There are more things that we agree on among all four parties, that being Tri-State, the city, the county, and Franciscan Skemp. There are more things by far that we agree on than we disagree on. There are really only two major things that we disagree on or that some of the parties disagree on. And so I think the process that we have gone through has been incredibly valuable to dealing with this issue. I certainly have heard over the last couple of weeks concern that is this a secret process? What's going on behind closed doors? Are you trying to pull one over on us? And that is not the case at all. And let me give you an analogy. Right now, the city and the county are both in the process of putting together a budget. Our county administrator, Steve O'Malley, is working on the county's. The mayor is working on the city's budget. And they are meeting privately with department heads, with perhaps heads of organizations around town, and other people, and they are pulling together a document. And that document, at this point, nobody other than themselves knows what's in it. But does that mean that they won't know what's in it? Of course not, because that's the private part of the process. And then, when those budgets are introduced, that is when the public and the elected officials who serve in the legislative bodies have a chance to look at it, ask questions, make changes, make comments, and members of the public have a chance to say, hey, what's going on? We want to, you know, understand as much detail as possible also. That's where we are at with regard to the ambulance situation. Over the past 18 months to two years, several of us have been meeting very intensively. I couldn't begin to count how many meetings, emails, phone calls, and other communications that I have had with the parties that are involved here. And I want to say this about each and every one of them. They are class acts. I'm talking about everybody who has been part of the mediation and negotiation process. They were all there with one intent in mind, and that is, can we reach an amicable solution that is going to be good for the patients and the citizens of this community? That is, from my firm belief, where everybody came from in that regard, from opposite viewpoints, but I really think that everybody entered into this process in good faith. And this is a process. What we have tonight is not a result. It is a step in the process, and just a step. There is a lot more to come. Tonight is the first step of the public part of the process, but a lot has gone on to get things to where they are today. And you know, if people are concerned that, you know, have I been part of private meetings, closed sessions on this matter to put together a proposal? Yes, I have. Will I continue to do so until this is finally adopted by the City Council or County Board? Yes, I will. And the reason is, this is an important issue. This is one of the most critical issues that we have in this community, and it is worth my time. And if I can pick up the phone and talk to the mayor or talk to Matt Zabodsky from Tri-State and say, hey, you know, I just thought of an idea. Maybe this can break the logjam. I'm going to pick up that phone. I'm going to sit down with them. Because if we can reach a resolution amicably, the whole community comes out ahead. When this process started a long time ago, there was a lot of public uproar. People were taking sides, a lot of bad feelings among various members of this community. For a long period of time, that was on hold while we were trying to work quietly and calmly behind the scenes to put something together that we could bring to you and to the rest of the community and say, what do you think? But I want to point out one important thing. First of all, there is no agreement. Not an agreement even between the city and the county or Mark Johnsrud and Steve Doyle. What there is a proposal. Just as I said, that analogy of the budget, when Mayor Johnsrud brings forward the budget to the City Council, that is his proposal. It is not a final document. It is not a done deal. That just starts the process. So right now there is a proposal to be introduced by myself as County Board Chair and by Mark Johnsrud as the Mayor to our respective governmental bodies. The earliest that the City Council will vote on this issue is 5 weeks from now. There will be at least 5 weeks of public discussion, question, answers, debate, whatever is needed before the City Council votes on this, and perhaps even longer if they decide not to vote on it at their very first opportunity. The County Board, the earliest we will vote on it is 10 weeks from now. So there's a lot of ground that will be covered over the next several weeks where the members of the public are not just allowed to participate, but are encouraged to participate. This has gone from the private part now to the public part of the process, and we need the input of as many people from the public as possible. I want to talk about the history of EMS in La Crosse County, starting with in the pre-1980s. We're all familiar with the old approach where the police station wagon, you threw somebody in the back seat or back end, and you hauled them to the hospital and hoped that they survived long enough that you know, the hospital folks could do something. Or maybe you just threw your mother or your husband in the car yourself and drove. It was not a good situation, obviously. Then we made a big step forward in the 1980s when we had two ambulance providers, Tri-State and MedStar. And the issue there that ultimately evolved was a battle over whether basic life support was sufficient or if we should have advanced life support, also known as paramedic. And as time went on, we have moved forward. And so the decision was made over the course of time, certainly, that we needed to go that next step, that the way or the standard that people could expect to receive in terms of treatment was paramedic level treatment. On January 1 of 1990, the county entered into a contract with Tri-State, and that was really a huge step. We had a contract that covered most municipalities within the county, and eventually all municipalities within the county joined, so that everything in terms of ambulance service within La Crosse County was under one umbrella, and we really think that that was an important step in the delivery of service to this community. In 1995, Gunderson Lutheran purchased Tri-State. We entered into a new contract then, January 1 of 1996, and several times over the course of years since then, that contract has been extended. In 2002, the city, under Fire Chief Stinson, conducted a study on whether it made sense for the city to take over providing ambulance service within the city limits of La Crosse. Certainly caused a lot of consternation, debate, and so forth, but really, until recently, not a whole lot had happened along those lines. On December 31st of 2007, our EMS contract with Tri-State expired. We presently do not have a contract for EMS service in La Crosse County. That doesn't mean that if you call 911, you won't get an ambulance, but presently there is not a contract, and we want one. And that is why we need to get from the private discussion trying to reach an amicable solution that everybody can live with to a public discussion to get something done sooner rather than later. Here are some important considerations. There is no mandatory duty for a county to provide EMS services. That is a responsibility of each individual municipality. La Crosse County is involved in the delivery of ambulance services for one reason, and that is it makes sense, as I said, to put everything under one umbrella and have a coordinated approach that is more efficient and better for patient care. Second, each municipality has the right to provide its own EMS service. If the city of Onalaska, the town of Bangor, or the city of La Crosse said tomorrow, we're pulling out, we're going to serve our own constituency, provide ambulance service to our jurisdiction, and we're not going to be part of the contract, they could do that. That fact, more than any other, is what got me involved in this process, because if, in fact, the city would say, we're going to provide our own ambulance service, we don't need to be part of this overall comprehensive contract among all the members of La Crosse County, that would be devastating for the provision of service outside the city limits of La Crosse. I live in the town of Onalaska, and I would be looking at a subsidy, perhaps, you know, lower quality service. Who knows if Tri-State would be able to survive under that scenario. And so when I looked at the debate that was going on and that there just wasn't looking like there was any forward progress, I asked our county administrator and our 911 director to join with me in sitting down with people to see if we could bring some calmness to the situation. Because we're only all in it together because everybody agrees so far that we should be in it together. Our goal has been to provide integration, stability, and efficiency by having one system, which could be multiple providers, but one system and one 911 service, where no matter where you are in La Crosse County, you dial 911 and you will get an ambulance. You don't have to dial a different number in La Crosse versus Onalaska or what have you. And very important provision from my perspective and my constituents' perspective, there's presently no tax subsidy and we don't want one. The current situation. January 28th of 2006, Mayor Johnsrud was quoted in the media about the city's intention to get into an ambulance service. Certainly got people's attention at that point, and the war of words began. We saw the public, letters to the editor, a lot of just animosity developing, and it, not to fault the mayor, not to fault Tri-State, but that issue suddenly became front and center and got everybody's attention. A couple months later, the city hired Greg Cleveland. Not going to blame him either. I think he's a good fire chief, but it was a significant step in the process over the last couple of years in terms of where things have gone with regard to the fire department in La Crosse. March 29th of 2006, I sent a letter to the mayor raising some concerns with exactly the concern that I just mentioned, which is if the city pulls out, that's going to be a real problem for us in the out county. If the city cherry picks, and I've used that term on a number of occasions with regard to this issue, and Tri-State is left with something less than the what I'll call the profitable calls, could that jeopardize the out county? Very much a concern that I expressed in that letter. And I said, hey, let's meet and see if we can talk about this. That meeting, in fact, happened on May 17th at the mayor's office in City Hall. I was there. Other representatives from the county were there, the city of La Crosse, Gunderson Lutheran Tri-State were there, and Franciscan Skemp was there. At that meeting, there was an agreement on four important principles. First, we must consider a regional approach. We're not going to piecemeal this. We're not going to go back to the bad old days. Secondly, whatever we come up with should enhance the clinical quality and patient safety. Third, we want to strive to control healthcare costs. We don't have a money machine that we can just do whatever we want to do. We need to do something that makes sense. And finally, we want a collaborative effort, and we want to provide inclusivity. We want to work together. And one of my favorite terms since becoming county board chair 6 years ago has been collaboration. It is important that we work together, community to community, but it's also important that we work community to the private sector. And I think we all agreed that these were four very important principles that we wanted to address. And as a result of that, we came up with an interim agreement that had 4 points to it. The first one was that the county would extend Tri-State's contract at that point for 1 year, because it was going to expire at the end of 06. And so we extended it to December 31 of 07. As I mentioned, that has now expired. The fire department and Tri-State will work together to examine options and models. And in fact, what they were going to do was to travel to different communities and look how the delivery of ambulance service in various communities was working, what would be better, what would not be as effective in La Crosse. Number three, the parties would stop taking shots at each other. And everybody agreed to that, and the principals have done a very good job of backing off and not publicly criticizing each other. Unfortunately, you know, in this community, people have very strong feelings on it, and so some comments still were made by other folks. And finally, we agreed that the group would meet again in the fall to determine the next steps after they had a chance to look at some of those different models. Unfortunately, over those next few months, not a whole lot of progress was made. First of all, the city and Tri-State representatives were going to have several meetings. They were going to make site visits and so forth. That did happen, but there was no agreement as to comparability. They would go to one community, and one of the parties would say, well, we're not like this at all. And they go to a different community, and a different party would say, well, we're not like this one at all. And so not a whole lot of forward progress happened there. We made several unsuccessful attempts to try to get the original group back together, but unfortunately, in the meantime, there was a lot of continued debate in the media, and again, the bad blood that all of us really want to try to push off to the side. Tri-State proposed emergency medical dispatch in April of 2007 to the Public Safety Communications Board. Emergency medical dispatch is pre-arrival instructions by a trained dispatcher. I call 911 because my spouse is exhibiting some sort of symptoms. You know, maybe there's no breathing, or they're choking or something. There are some things that that trained dispatcher can tell me to do while the ambulance is coming. And that is something that has now been adopted, and really think that was a very important step. Significantly with regard to EMD is that there would not be any tax subsidy. Tri-State said, we will provide this service. The city was a little concerned about that, saying, well, this appears to be a move where Tri-State can now say, well, we're the only ones who can do emergency medical dispatch, so the fire department really can't get involved in ambulance service, and so, you know, we're locked in as a provider. The city was concerned that, you know, was this a good faith type of addition, or was this something that there was some sort of hidden agenda? And again, keep in mind, the environment that we were in at that time, there wasn't necessarily a whole lot of trust among the various parties. What happened was an advisory committee was established to review the data, see if it made sense, and you know, if it should be something that would be adopted in La Crosse County. On May 15th of 07, the county proposed, let's get a mediator involved. Let's find a professional person from outside of this community to come in and sit down with the parties and try to figure out, is there some common ground that we can reach. At approximately the same time, the mayor made a similar proposal. So, you know, we're in the same wavelength in terms of bringing somebody in. Our administrator came up with several possibilities, and in fact, we hired a gentleman by the name of Howard Bellman to from Madison, who has a lot of experience in similar types of things, to do that. We had a pre-mediation meeting on June 12th of 2007. And that was chaired by Howard Bellman. There were four parties at that. Those parties were La Crosse County, represented by myself and several others, the City of La Crosse, Gunderson Lutheran and Tri-State, and then Franciscan Skemp. I want to make a comment about Franciscan Skemp in this process. They were extremely important in moving things forward. Ron Paskowski, who is the vice president at Franciscan, was just a wealth of knowledge, and I really believe was trusted by both sides that, you know, he wasn't Gunderson, so he wasn't necessarily aligned with them, but he was from the medical community, so, you know, he had the faith of both sides, and I think really performed a very valuable service. So I want to thank Franciscan Skemp for their role in this process and all of the help and the many hours that they devoted to trying to reach an agreement that everybody could live with. Mediation. On June 12th, as I said, in addition to Howard Bellman, we had Kathy Etter, who at that time was the State of Wisconsin EMS coordinator. And what we did was each party met separately with the mediator to make their own determination of, is this something that made sense? Should we sit down and go through this process, or is it a waste of time? All of the parties agreed after that we would hire him, and we would split a cost of up to $20,000 that would be divided four ways and try to see within the bounds of that amount of money we could reach an agreement. Howard was to track the proposals, share all the information with each side, and was authorized to talk with the parties all together or individually, whatever he thought was the best way to try to make some progress in resolving the various issues. July 24th, we spent a half a day doing individual and combined meetings with the mediator, and at that stage, we established certain ground rules. One, participation is voluntary. If you don't want to be here, you can leave. There's no requirement that you continue in this mediation. You can let the public process take over at any point that you wanted. Any party can withdraw at any time. The process is confidential. In other words, we're not going to be trying to litigate our case in public. But before any agreement would be adopted by either the city council or the county board, it would be presented to the public for comment. And that is where we are tonight, obviously. At that meeting, an important fact came out, and that is Tri-State had done an internal study that showed the need for an additional ambulance in the year 2010. And you'll see why that becomes significant as we go on. But that was something that we learned at the early stage in the formal mediation process that came to be extremely significant later on. All right, what were the major points of contention as we started out? First was, what role, if any, should the city play in the delivery of EMS services? And when should that decision be made? In other words, now should we say the city can jump in, or later where they have to have proven themselves in one fashion or another? Secondly, by whom? Should we, as part of the ordinance that's being proposed, say the city gets an ambulance, or should the commission that oversees that service make that decision? What should be the makeup of the body that oversees EMS delivery? Should it be all elected officials? Should it be all medical professionals? Should it be a combination? Who should have the majority? And there was obviously concern that if we establish a commission that can make these decisions, are they going to tilt toward the city? Are they going to tilt toward Tri-State? And so we had to deal with a lot of those particular issues to make sure that everybody felt that they were getting a fair shake in the process. And then finally, how should that body establish standards to govern the quality of service? We wanted, everybody pretty much agreed from the very beginning that that body should have the teeth to be able to make those decisions to establish those standards. On August 20th, the city made its first proposal, and in that proposal, the city indicated that it would provide up to two advanced life support, in other words, paramedic ambulances. One unit would be for the city, and they would be the primary ambulance responsible for all city calls. So no matter where you were in the city, they were the first ambulance that would be called if they were available. And they would have an additional unit for other parts of the region where that may be needed. The city or perhaps the county would dispatch. Right now, 911 works through the county, obviously. city and county would, or city and tri-state would provide mutual backup. And that's already a common experience. The Sparta ambulance people provide backup for tri-state as needed, so do some of the other surrounding ones, and tri-state likewise provides backup for them when it's needed. The city would set standards for its jurisdiction. In other words, the city would say, here is the response time that we demand that is met within the city limits. The essential concept of what the city proposed was an arrangement that would have two independent operations, which to me and to Tri-State and other people translated to competition. And we didn't like that. All right, September 12, 2007, Tri-State came in with its first proposal. Their proposal envisioned a governing board with five licensed physicians and four elected officials. There'd also be non-voting ex officio members. But they certainly came in it from a more of a medical standpoint, saying the medical people should dominate in the decision-making process. it would be the governing board who would decide who gets that next ambulance in 2010, not a pre-decided arrangement where the city would get that next ambulance. Tri-State would permit city paramedics to ride along in tri-state units to get experience doing paramedic level work and so forth. The existing contract standards would apply. In other words, the response times, for example, that apply throughout the county would be the response time that would still apply under the new arrangement. Their essential concept was a tri-state dominated model to promote a unified delivery of service. The city, you know, didn't like that approach because they didn't want to be, you know, a subsidiary, if you will, of Tri-State. They wanted to have their own operation. So we took a look at these two very different proposals, and at that point, the city and Franciscan on September 26th met with the mediator to see if we could come up with some ideas for middle ground. Can we solve this problem? And actually, when we looked at the situation, we saw a fair amount of commonality, even though there were a fair number of areas of disagreement. And so we thought, you know, there might be a kernel here that can be made into something. And so we talked about it at that meeting. We also then circulated ideas by phone and by email. And on October 15th of 2007, we had a proposal that we were ready to make. And in that proposal, the governing board would be made up primarily of elected officials throughout the county. And we feel that that is really important. We don't think that although the county coordinates this process, that the county should be the only ones making decision. And so as part of our approach to this, we wanted somebody who was going to represent the towns. We wanted somebody who was going to represent the villages. We wanted somebody who was going to represent the city of Onalaska, so that throughout the county, everybody had a say in what was going to happen because it's their community and they should have the right to have input, not just have something thrust upon them. We said that the city of La Crosse should get the next ambulance. So let me talk about that for just a second. And I don't want to portray this as a negative, but as I said earlier, if we came up with something that the city simply could not live with, they could take their ball and go home. And they could establish their own ambulance service. And they could leave the rest of the county hanging. And from my perspective, that was untenable. We could not do that. And so what I was looking for was something that the city could feel, we can live with this. This could work, and we can make it work. And hopefully the tri-state could say, well, not what we would have preferred, but we can live with it too. And so that's where the county and Franciscan came down to try to figure out, is there a way that we can kind of nudge each side to get them a little bit closer, you know, to the center? Under our proposal, it would be operated as an integrated system with the county as a hub. And I don't think that really after this first go-round we saw a whole lot of disagreement on that. I think pretty much everybody agrees at this point that you need one system, and it really the county is the major deliverer in terms of 911 and holding the contract with the provider and so forth. November, we met with the mediator to discuss, you know, how should we present this proposal, what things should we focus on, and so forth. On November 28th, we held back-to-back meetings with the city and with Tri-State. And kind of from that point on, more often than not, we met individually with each side I'm a lawyer, as some of you know, and I do a lot of mediation in my profession. And one of the things that I have discovered when you've got people that are fighting with each other is if you put them in the same room together, you just make it worse. So what you do is the shuttle diplomacy of going back and forth, and that's what we thought we would try in this particular situation. And I'm not trying to imply that, you know, these people were immature or hated each other or whatever. It just, in most situations, works better to have individual meetings. And so that's really kind of the process that we followed much of the time after that. In those back-to-back meetings, each side raises concerns. Each had some things that thought were okay, and each side had some things that they couldn't live with. So we took that back, thought about it, and in the middle of December, we met again with the mediator to try to figure out, okay, we've heard from each side, do we have a plan B that we can propose to them? And we continued to work on that over the course of time. By the end of 2007, a very, very good thing happened, and that is the emergency medical dispatch issue was resolved. That program has been implemented. It is in effect right now. And that is, if there is one thing that we can point to as a result of this mediation process, is getting that done. That Matt Zawadzki has said on a number of occasions, we have saved lives and are saving lives by implementing that approach, and that is because everybody got on the same page. So in that regard, I think everybody deserves a pat on the back. Unfortunately, at this time, the money for the mediator ran out. Remember I said $20,000? I hope that that gives you some sense of how intense and time-involving this process was. We didn't just meet a couple times. We met a lot of times, and we did a lot of phone calls and a lot of back and forth, and the mediator was very much involved in all of that. And by the end of 2007, we had run out of money for the mediator. The city said, we'll continue with the funding. The county said, we'll continue with the funding. Tri-State said, you know, this doesn't look like it's going to work. Doesn't look like it's going to resolve the situation. We would prefer not to put any more money in for the mediator, but we're willing to keep talking. And so, guess what? 2008, the county became the mediator. We work free. So that was the role that we have fulfilled for the duration of 2008, right up to today. And I can tell you that Jim Clock from Tri-State and I have communicated today. Mark and I have communicated today. I don't consider the process done. And I'm not going to consider the process done until somebody drags me out and convinces me of it some way or another, because as long as the parties are still talking, there is still hope, even though we have moved to another step in this process. In February, we met with Tri-State to discuss some ideas that we had that we hope that they might like and that they might be able to go along with. Later that month, then we met with the city to discuss the ideas that Tri-State had suggested as a result of our meeting. And again, we're trying to get closer and closer to an agreement that everybody can live with. On April 24th, we convened a meeting with both parties to try to figure out, okay, let's get the cards on the table. What's still out there that needs to get resolved? From April to June, that process continued informally. A lot of telephone and email communications to try to reach a resolution. All four parties were involved. I can't tell you how many times I've talked with all of them. Occasionally would meet one-on-one, but as I have there in red, the discussions have never stopped. This process is still ongoing, and as I said earlier, it will continue to go until there is some resolution one way or another. On June 6th, the mayor agreed to a proposal that I offered that we'll be talking about tonight and that they'll be talking about in more detail. And that is, again, it's not an agreement. It is a proposal that he and I will make to our respective governmental bodies as individuals. That proposal is not binding upon the city or the county unless adopted by the county or the council and the board. If the city council doesn't like it or the county board doesn't like it, it doesn't happen. At that point, then, we presented the proposal to Tri-State, and there were two major things that they disagreed with and that they still disagree with. We'll talk about that. There's some other minor things, but the two big issues, and so that kind of gets us to where we are at today. There are more areas of agreement than disagreement. I want to emphasize that. We really have accomplished a lot in this process from my perspective. Okay, key provisions of the proposal are, number one, the city and county would each adopt reciprocal ordinances that define EMS commission membership. Who is going to be in charge of making decisions with regard to the delivery of ambulance service in La Crosse County? What is their authority, the scope of their authority, what types of things can they decide? And we wanted to make sure that they have authority, not just recommendation ability. What are the standards of quality, and what are the guarantees of transparency? It is your tax dollars, your insurance dollars, perhaps your private coming out of your pocket dollars that pay for ambulance service, and you're entitled to know what the level of service is going to be, what the quality is, and so forth. And so we believe that records should be public. And on all of these things, all of the parties agreed with most of the concepts that we have right there. Not a lot of disagreement on things like standards of quality and guarantees of transparency. We really are on the same page with regard to that. The EMS Commission would have 10 members, and those 10 members include county board people, La Crosse mayor, a common council member, a citizen appointed by the mayor, the Onalaska mayor, a village president, town board chair, and representatives from Gunderson Lutheran and Franciscan Skemp. That part is what is being proposed by the mayor and myself. I had mentioned earlier that Rob Nessie from Franciscan was going to be here. He is now here, just came in. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Nessie. The last two are representatives from the medical facilities who can be doctors, wouldn't have to be doctors. Tri-State, their disagreement with this is they would add two additional doctors to this. So instead of 10 members, there would be 12 members. So that is the major area of disagreement on that topic. Okay, what's the EMS Commission authority? They're authorized to do a lot of things. Set standards based upon state regulations, designate the EMS medical director, and there's a potential plural there, is not the expectation that there would be multiple medical directors. There would be one that serves in that capacity for both the fire department and Tri-State. They would establish pre-hospital medical care protocols, ensure that the closest ambulance is the one who's responding regardless of jurisdictional boundaries. In other words, if there is an ambulance in the city of La Crosse that is closer because the person is in Shelby who needs help, but the nearest Tri-State ambulance is further away, that La Crosse ambulance would go there. On the other hand, if there is a person in the city of La Crosse and a Tri-State ambulance is closer, that Tri-State ambulance would go to them. We don't care what the label is on the side of the rig. What we care about is what is the closest vehicle. This commission would set personnel standards, could enter into mutual aid agreements to make sure that you have those agreements with, say, Sparta Ambulance and so forth, set vehicle and equipment requirements, oversee the EMS system communication and standards, establish quality assurance programs. All parties agree with these terms. Tri-State has some additional ones that they would put, but we went through a lot of time to get to these terms, and we do have an agreement on all of them. EMS transparency. The commission is to develop standards regarding content and frequency reports on things like calls, response times, quality, skills proficiency, patient satisfaction, vehicles and equipment to make this service responsive to you, the patient or potential patient who is receiving care. All financial and operational information of the ambulance providers should be available to the commission and to the public, all of it, so that you know what's going on and have the right to receive that information. All parties agree to these terms. Okay, major areas of disagreement. As I said, there are two. The big one that you've all heard about is the City of La Crosse shall own and operate the next ambulance added to the county EMS system. That is a provision that is in the proposal to be offered by Mayor John Zut at the council and myself at the county board. The Tri-State does not agree with, and that is a decision that obviously is going to have to be made in terms of what happens in that regard, but that is our proposal. Tri-State ambulance would be authorized to provide, Tri-State would be authorized to provide the second ambulance. So in 2010, the city, with that growth, not taking away from the existing service, but the growth in the need for more ambulances, the city would get that growth and take that next ambulance. As the service continues to grow and you need even one more ambulance, that one goes back to Tri-State. And then from that point on, the commission could decide which was the most appropriate one to get, the third, fourth, fifth, and so on, ambulance. But the first two would be already designated, that as they are needed, first the City of La Crosse gets one, as the growth calls for another ambulance, not taking away from what's already there, and then after that, Tri-State gets the one that would be next. Tri-State would like the commission to decide who gets the next ambulance added to the system. And so Tri-State is not saying, no way, no how, never, ever could the City of La Crosse run an ambulance service. They've not said that. I don't think they're still saying that. What they're saying is, don't decide it ahead of time. Let the commission decide that. So that's where we are in terms of the areas of disagreement. Here are some considerations. An important one from my perspective, La Crosse County is not bound by any proposals made by its representatives. The county board could tell me, sorry, Steve, we don't agree with what you came up with, and we're voting it down. And that's certainly their right. I have a proposal. I don't have an agreement. I have not committed the county to anything. I have no ability to commit the county to anything. The next move is the city's. The city has to decide if this is what they want to do. Because if the city council votes down the idea of having an ambulance service, there's no need for the county to consider this proposal, although we certainly would want to look at creating that commission, because all of us agree that it's not working the way it is presently, that commission. I'm not talking ambulance service. That commission is an advisory commission made up of a hodgepodge of officials who are mainly not elected officials. What we want is one that has teeth to make decisions, enforce its decisions, and that is primarily elected officials who have to be responsive to the public. So the city needs to decide what it's going to do, and it's not the county's decision. I can't tell the city whether they should or should not get into the ambulance business, and I'm not going to. People have asked me repeatedly, so you're saying the city should run an ambulance, and I said, I never said that. I've never said they should, I've never said they shouldn't. And the county does not have any position one way or another on whether they should or they should not, because it isn't our decision. So what's the significance of this proposal? It is simply a proposal. It's not an endorsement by any county or city committee. It hasn't gotten to that point yet. That comes next. The county does not have an official position on the proposal. I like it. The mayor likes it. We'll have to see if anybody else likes it. Why do I support it? Couple things. It allows the city to make their determination whether EMS should be offered through the fire department, and it allows them. It doesn't force the county to make that decision. It says, you decide what you want to do. And secondly, it allows the municipalities, and from my perspective, the most important part, it allows the municipalities outside the City of La Crosse to know that quality, efficiency, and cost will not be sacrificed through a fragmented system. As I said repeatedly, we want to keep everybody under the same umbrella. This proposal would do that, to have one service, not competing services, one service offered within La Crosse County. All right, what's next? Starting tomorrow morning, you can go to the La Crosse County website to view this presentation. This slideshow will be on there, and the proposed ordinance will be on there starting tomorrow morning. So you can go to La Crosse County's website. It should be on the front page. There'll be a link to it. You can read it, and as additional information becomes available, we will put more and more things on there, because it is now your turn to weigh in on what should happen here. Also would ask that you attend public hearings that the city and the county will each hold once this proposal is introduced. That is my presentation. What we're going to do next is hear from the mayor and Chief Cleveland, and then Matt Zawadzki from Tri-State, and at that point, we're going to take questions and comments from members of the public, so it's your chance to have your first weigh in on this. We don't expect you to know everything, and this meeting is not the last step where, okay, now you've heard it, you know, tell us what you think. This is the first step, so I would think that probably there are more questions than comments at this point, and that's fine. And when you leave here, you'll probably think of 10 more questions. We'll do more of this kind of stuff so that those questions can get answered. So that does it for me. Mayor, if you want to come forward. Thank you.
thank you for being here tonight. There's a lot of people representing a lot of different organizations. We see firefighters here. We see tri-state personnel. We see people from both healthcare providers. We see elected officials from both the county and the city and some of the surrounding townships. So it's really a great thing that you're here tonight and you're participating in the overall process. I think it's an exciting process because it really shows that we did cooperate and that our attempt is not to compete, but we're attempting to cooperate. A lot of people have indicated in the last few days that that somehow the city is biased, that the mayor is biased in this, that there's a reason behind this. There isn't any reason. There wasn't any reason why I worked to solve the problems that we had with the naming of the stadium. There wasn't any reason why I worked on certainly providing water to the town of Campbell. There wasn't any reason why I work on growth within the city of La Crosse other than I love the city of La Crosse. That's my bias. That's my biggest bias in all of this. And I think that that's really what this is about. It's about improving the quality of service to the people who live within the city of La Crosse. Our fire department has a very proud heritage. It's 112 years old this year. You see a lot of the men in blue here tonight. They're very proud of the city of La Crosse. They're very proud of providing service to the city of La Crosse. And if you look at our history, there's some slides here, and they're not very good slides, and I have to apologize for that, but back in the city, early city days, film was very expensive, and being very frugal with tax dollars at those times, they didn't have digital cameras. They didn't take a lot of pictures, so we didn't have a lot of opportunities to take a lot of pictures or see a lot of pictures of what the services were provided in the past. Over here, we've got a 1937 Packard ambulance provided by the La Crosse Police Department. Here's a 1949 Packard ambulance provided by the La Crosse Police Department. Here's a 1974 Ford ambulance provided by the La Crosse Police Department. City Police Department got out of the ambulance business in 1977. And I'm not saying this is the type of service that we're providing today. We all know that the service has evolved an awful lot from this. But I think what it shows is for 40 years here within the city of La Crosse, the city provided ambulance service to its citizens and its residents. Actually, Tri-State Ambulance was first organized and started by a former La Crosse police officer, Wally Gardner. So that really I think that the roots of our current system are based in providing service from the city of La Crosse. What we have today is we have a fire rescue. That's EMT. You might see them around the streets. That's what you're going to see come to your door when you call 911. You either have a Rescue 1 or a Rescue 2. We have two of those vehicles, as well as engine companies that come to each one of your doors whenever you call 911. That's what our EMT service is all about. These people are going to get to your door to provide service to you here within the city of La Crosse. This is the mission that we came up with. The mission is to enhance the quality and delivery of emergency medical services within the city and the county of La Crosse and to provide these services in a cost-effective manner to those who live, work, or visit our community. You have to remember the city of La Crosse provides 60% of the jobs and yet only has 42% of the residents. That means an awful lot of people visit our city each and every day. There's probably 100,000 people that are in our city at any one time during the day. That means we have to provide an awful lot of service. That service certainly comes out of our operating budget. The EMT service that we provide goes to both residents and non-residents, even though certainly we know where the operating budget comes from. A portion of that comes from property taxes. The city-county proposal, and we're going to say it's a proposal, and I'd certainly like to thank Steve Doyle for doing a fantastic job of summarizing our mediation negotiations, because he really did a fantastic job, and certainly I'd like to thank the county. I'd like to thank Matt Savansky, Gunnarsson Lutheran, Franciscan Skemp, and Ron Paskowski, as well as our team, Chief Cleveland, and we also had Councilmember George Italiano and former Councilmember Joe Ledvina were actively involved in that, as well as Randy Loken, the Assistant Chief. So thank you to all those people who helped us with this proposal. Franciscan Skimp Healthcare has participated in the mediation sessions and believes that a collaborative city-county tri-state ambulance model would provide safe and high-quality pre-hospital emergency medical care. That's directly from Franciscan Skimp. This was all based on four principles, and that slide, I think, came up really fast for Steve, and I'll go over these a little bit in more detail. These are four principles that we all agreed on when we started mediation, and they're very important because if you're looking at improving a system, enhancing a system, and I've said all along this is more than ambulance, this is an enhanced system. It really is probably one of the only enhanced systems in the state where we're not here to compete with Tri-State Ambulance. We're here to cooperate with Tri-State Ambulance. We're here to cooperate with the county. We're here to cooperate with our healthcare facilities in order to provide an enhanced clinical quality of care. So those four principles are a regional approach. That means that it's a regional approach. The county of La Crosse will get the entire service. Now, we understand that Tri-State provides service to many surrounding counties as well, and we didn't really focus on that, but we wanted to make sure that we didn't hurt that service that are in those surrounding counties. So that's part of our regional approach. To enhance clinical quality and patient safety, and it says what it means. We want to enhance the quality that's currently being provided. A lot of people say, well, I love the quality that I'm getting today. That's great, but if you have spaghetti each and every day, you don't know if there's anything different out there. I mean, is there something better? And I think that we're going to show that this is a better service. This is you can say steak. Let's say steak. If we got steak, maybe what we want is lobster. Whatever it is, all I'm trying to do is I'm trying to say that what we have today, there we can improve on, and that's I think the point that I'm trying to make. We want to control healthcare costs. Certainly that's important. Controlling healthcare costs is part of this overall four principles. And finally, collaborative effort and provide inclusivity. I think all these things are four principles that we've abided by within this proposal. We have a Joint Emergency Medical Service Commission, the La Crosse County, or City of La Crosse Fire Department, paramedic, first responders, and that really is the difference within our system here. We currently provide EMT service within the City of La Crosse, and what our hope is to provide paramedic first response to everyone's door in a timely manner. And that's really where we're going to enhance that clinical quality and patient safety aspect of this proposal. And then certainly it provides a City of La Crosse Fire Department ambulance. We all know what the Medical Service Commission is, and really when it comes down to the differences, there isn't a whole lot of differences, again, between what Tri-State, the county, and the city have provided, other than I think what it comes down to is the representation from Gunderson Lutheran and Franciscan Skimp. These people can certainly be doctors. What our proposal really looks at is our proposal looks at allowing elected officials and citizen members to be the policy-setting board within the commission, and then allowing the resource, whether it be the medical director, whether it be physicians, to be used in order to set that policy, in order to make those good decisions within the Joint Emergency Medical Service Commission. And I think that that's very similar to the City Council, very similar to the County Board, in that it's close to the people. We want this commission to be very close to the people. We don't want it to be necessarily very close to the medical profession, because we feel that they should be used as a resource rather than as the policy setting. The Joint Emergency Medical Services Commission is a collaborative emergency medical services program. Certainly the oversight of emergency medical services and training and protocol will all be done by the commission. I think Steve mentioned some of these things. Consistency and quality and delivery of EMS countywide. The City of La Crosse Ambulance and Paramedic First Response would be incorporated in 2010. And this is really where Steve elaborated a little bit on it, but really this ambulance service was all based on when is the next ambulance going to be added to this overall system. We didn't want to jeopardize Tri-State's current operations. We didn't want to jeopardize certainly their revenue, their expenses within the system. So we said, all right, fine. When could another ambulance be added to the system? According to Tri-State, they said that it could be added at the end of 2010. So that's what we put in the proposal, is that's when the City of La Crosse would add an ambulance. So the next ambulance after that would be Tri-State's. Our goal is not to take over the ambulance service in the City of La Crosse. Our goal is to recover costs for paramedic first response. And paramedic first response is going to have a cost. And when people have said, well, somehow it's going to raise taxes, if we don't have an ambulance, it will increase our costs. And we're going to have to cover that some way, whether it be increased taxes or through other revenue, I don't know. But what we're here providing is a no-impact, no-cost proposal. So we want to enhance the stability, accountability, and transparency of EMS services within not just the city of La Crosse, but La Crosse County. I think what I'm going to do is let the fire chief give you the specifics on paramedic first response. It's very technical on the differences between the service that you're being provided today and the service that you would receive under this proposal in the future.
Thank you, Mayor, and good evening, everybody. It's glad to see everyone here this evening. It's an important topic, and I'm very, very pleased to see people are here to learn more about what's happening in our community. Picking up where the mayor left off, one of the things that that we have within the fire department, because we operate in a very a defined geographical space, meaning the city boundaries, is that we have four fire stations that are located throughout. It allows us to have a very, very efficient delivery, very efficient, highly reliable system of putting fire and emergency medical service resources on the scene very, very quickly. Excuse me. Many times we can have a unit on scene and be able to start our process of patient care and packaging. One of the issues is Tri-State does have a very large area. They have a very large geographical area. And again, they're doing an excellent job in terms of providing timely service in these other areas. But because of our internal system operating within a defined area, we do get resources on the scene very, very quickly. From our perspective, one of the issues is the efficiency, and also, as the mayor said, increasing or enhancing the availability of advanced life support. So what I mean by that is that we simply can put paramedics on the scene very, very quickly. If our ambulance is the first or the closest ambulance to the situation, there's an efficiency of transporting that person directly to either Franciscan Skemp or Gunderson Lutheran. And again, if we get fire department resources, our ambulance is not available, or the fact that Tri-State ambulances would be closer, our paramedics on the first response rig will simply continue to do what they need to do, work with Tri-State, transfer that patient, and if need be, also put that patient in the back of an ambulance, and our personnel will assist Tri-State to the ambulance, to the hospital. Currently, that's a lot of what it's like right now. As we talked about is that we currently work in concert with Tri-State Ambulance because we do a lot of the extrication, the hazards and scene control, we do technical rescue, we do entrapment situations, and we basically will treat that patient, extricate that patient, and then work with Tri-State to get that individual into an ambulance and then onto the hospital. In the event if it's a serious patient, cardiac, severe trauma, our personnel typically jump in the back of Tri-State ambulance, and again, you know, we might have consumable supplies that we've used on the patient, collars, whatever, airways. That stuff gets transferred right with the patient. They go to Tri-State. Our personnel ride in Tri-State's ambulance to the hospital, and again, it works very well. I think where we talk about the enhancement is that we can put paramedic trained personnel on scene very, very quickly. And I think that's one of the enhancements that we can make. And yet, we're not competing with Tri-State. We're working collaboratively with Tri-State because even in the event that our ambulance is not the closest, we would provide those personnel at the paramedic level to assist. One of their paramedics is driving the ambulance. A paramedic is in the back. We'll have another paramedic in the back and working collaboratively with them to get the patient, to treat the patient for their best interest. We continue that. We think that that's going to be, we think that's a good system that will continue into the future. As I said, as the mayor said, the ambulance comes online in 2010. It's staffed by fire department, two fire department paramedics, and again, we have the closest ambulance. A lot of people say, well, how are you going to, quote, divvy up these ambulance calls? And, you know, the city has, in the last 2 years, made sufficient or significant investments in computer records management and CAD software so that we can be dispatched electronically. And again, we're currently right now dispatching or sending GPS data to the county, to their emergency dispatch center. So this is how this process can work. Dispatch will know. They won't know whether it's a tri-state unit, whether it's a fire department unit, and they will simply dispatch the closest ambulance and the chips fall where they may, because that's what's in the best interest of the patient. And again, knowing that we work collaboratively very well with tri-state staff, that we believe that that is a good system that's patient-focused and customer-orientated. And again, you know, we're talking about a system that's not restricted by jurisdictional boundaries. And, you know, one of the things when I came to La Crosse, I heard a lot of issues about jurisdictional boundaries. And I learned firsthand, whether it be fire, whether it be water, whether it be sewer, whatever it is. And, you know, when we're talking emergency services, I think we're kind of starting with a new chalkboard. We have erased all the old lines, and this is our first attempt to look at this from a regional standpoint, to look at this from a service standpoint, to look at the needs of the customer, the needs of the patient, and to respond appropriately. And I think the most important thing is that we're doing it collaboratively, not competitively. Many people are waiting for this slide, and I think a lot of people's pens will probably be quickly going. And essentially what I'm talking about here is our proposal. We're looking at training 12 of our existing personnel to the paramedic level. These are the finances, the estimated finances that it'll take to do that. Essentially, our tuition, books, training, all of that good stuff will total approximately $72,000 over 5 years. The wages, benefits, overtime, all of the roll-ups, the complete picture when it comes to wages will be approximately $587,000. Looking at vehicles and equipment, getting the equipment, the supplies, and so on and so forth, will be approximately $530,000. And then when we take a look at the operating increase in diesel fuel and so on and so forth, those other things, maintenance that goes on, we'll be looking at an approximately another $25,000 over the 5 years. We take a look at the revenue side of this process, because again, I think that's just equally important. And if we take a very conservative look and we say that over 5 years we have 4,000 transports, and we take a look at the situation from using the Medicare reimbursement rate of approximately $365, because we've heard a lot and we do know a lot about billing, that the collection rate is not what you get. I mean, Medicare really actually doesn't pay $365. They only pay 80% of that. So we know that there is a difference between billing, collecting. We understand that, you know, you're not going to get 100% collections. You're probably down in the 50 to 65% depending upon, you know, how you do your collections. And, you know, we have to be very, very careful with this. And, again, there's a mileage rate that Medicare provides. And, again, they only pay 80% of that mileage rate. They expect that the private pay or supplemental insurance will cover the additional 20%. As I said, Medicare pays 80% of both rates. And again, when you take a look at 4,000 transports with very minimal, probably $4 to $5 a year increases, if that bat, in terms of the Medicare rates, and probably 10 cents to 15 cents a year, if that much, for mileage rates, you can see that over the 5 years, we estimate about $1.2 million in revenue. Okay, looking at the revenue and expense comparison, you see that there's roughly a $5,000 difference. And again, you know, with having a degree in terms of economics, one of the cardinal rules is that you always overestimate expenditures and underestimate revenue. And that's what we've really truly done to take a look at this concept in a very serious manner, because I think we have a strong responsibility to the community to say that if we're going to enhance the service, increase the efficiency of the service, not to say that there isn't efficiency and excellence in the service now, but I think if we're going to go ahead and do that, we have a responsibility to look at how that's going to be impacted in terms of the tax dollars. And what we've done is basically recovered those costs. And I'll let Mayor Johnsrud talk a little bit, probably at the conclusion here, as to the issue of about how this is going to do using capital budgets and so on and so forth, because I'm sure that there's a few people out here that are saying they might be a little bit skeptical. I don't know, but I'm sure that he'll have a good answer for that. There's been a lot of issues raised about clinical quality, okay, experience versus non-experienced paramedics. Many of our firefighters have worked. We have former tri-state employees within the fire department. Many of our firefighters come from private ambulance services. They have worked with ambulance services. We have, for example, paramedic employed right now who also works in a paramedic service. Many of our firefighters have been in very difficult situations with very, very difficult patients. We've been in the back of these ambulances with tri-state personnel transporting these same patients that we both see. And I really don't believe, and I don't believe that both Gunderson or Franciscan Skemp would allow any sort of process to go forward if it was not clinically safe, if it was not going to provide equal to the level of care that we're providing right now. And I think that's a very important point. All of our paramedics would become nationally registered, which means they could practice medicine basically in 50 states. We have certification, recertification in accordance with the state standards, which is Health and Family Services Standard 112, Administrative Code 112. Paramedics are trained locally here at Western Technical College. And again, working with the Joint Emergency Medical Service Commission, we would have things like the same medical director. We'd have the exact same protocols. We'd have many of the same operating principles that we have back and forth. And I think that the proposal that this brings forth really does promote collaboration, and we capitalize on the strengths of both organizations as we provide emergency medical services at the paramedic level now and into the future. And I think that this proposal really does do that. We've talked again about too many paramedics in the system. And again, recurrent training is important. Case reviewing cases, doing those necessary things that have to be done. Many times, fire department ambulances and private ambulance sectors do intubations in the ambulatory surgery wards of their local hospitals, and that's something that should be explored in terms of continuing quality care. As advancements are made in terms of the medical procedures that we use, more and more services are going away from intubations, where there's a tube placed down into the lung, that they're going to non-visualized airways. It's very fast, it's very efficient, and yet the same outcomes can be done. So as we continue to take advantages of those, I'm sure those things will come forward. And again, based on the current analysis, the system is going to require another ambulance in 2010. And again, it's important that there's collaboration and not competition. Again, there's this model out there. People are saying, how can the fire department do this? How can the fire department be in business of transporting patients? I can tell you that these are the predominant 911 responders, and they all operate paramedic first response, and they do paramedic transports. And really, when you look at these are just, I think there's 20 cities here that provide paramedic service. And many of these cities, for example, in Milwaukee and Madison, there are multiple providers. There may be up to five different paramedic providers, but yet each system is managed by a medical director, each system is managed by a medical control, and there's even an oversight board that's there. So the point is I think that clinical quality can be maintained, that the system will be safe, it will be efficient. And many of these, although they are not working cooperatively as we are proposing, these systems do work independently, and they maintain quality according to state standards and to their local medical directors. So the system can work. I think, again, kind of winding down here, we do have emergency pre-arrival instructions. You know, that is a good thing. It's a positive thing for the county, and we're pleased to be part of that. This creation of a commission, having this oversight authority, I think is good, although, you know, we do have somewhat of a difference in terms of how it should be governed. We believe that elected officials should have the responsibility for determining on behalf of their particular constituents, and it shouldn't be totally medically driven. We believe that the medical director, who is over the service, that works with the service on a daily basis, weekly, monthly basis, excuse me, they have the most positive impact. They're the medical director who are talking with the medics on the street, that are working back and forth, that basically solve probably 90% of the operational problems. And I think that having doctors on the governing board more or less just takes away from the power of the elected officials to look at how this service is impacting their individual community. And I think by having a strong medical director, which we have in Dr. Voter, who's a very strong patient advocate, by working with him, we can achieve the same results without having the policy and dominated by physicians, and allowing those decisions to be made by elected officials who represent all of us, and addressing particular problems in their particular communities. Again, the fire department providing enhanced paramedic service, providing efficiency because responding, being able to transport people when it's appropriate, to me that's a big plus in our system. And what I see most of all and what I like most of all is that this is an integrated fire department process, both for ourselves as well as for the community. And what I'm saying by that is when we respond in the community, whatever the situation is, we have paramedically trained people who can address a problem if it pops up, even if it's with one of our firefighters. And we also bring that same level of expertise to where if a fire department paramedic is on the scene first and Tri-State comes and we can work very, very well together. We have always worked very well together. We will continue to work very well together. And again, going back using the strengths of both the fire department and Tri-State to make the system better, I think is a very, very strong outcome with this particular proposal. And again, I think what's most important is that this is a collaboration effort. It's not a competitive effort. You know, what most people need to know tonight is that what we are not doing, and what we are not doing is attempting to take away or drive out or put Tri-State out of business. That certainly is not our goal. It's not our mission. It's incompatible with our mission at the Fire and Rescue Department. So I think our proposal is very consistent to what has been the bedrock of what we're talking about in terms of maintaining a regional approach, enhancing patient safety and clinical skills, controlling costs, promoting inclusivity. And again, the most important thing is we're emphasizing the collaboration versus the competition. So I guess with that pretty much concludes it. And I would turn it back over to Mayor Johnsrud. So thank you for your attention. I appreciate it very much.
I think there's some points here that I'd like to elaborate on. Under this proposal, we're not restricted to jurisdictional boundaries. And I know there's a lot of people here from some of the surrounding townships and the villages. What we're saying is that our fire department ambulance, maybe the fire department ambulance that goes to the town of Shelby, town of Madary, town of Campbell, and some of the surrounding communities, if that's the closest available ambulance, then that fire department ambulance would leave the city of La Crosse to provide that level of care. So it really shows that it is an integrated system. It is not just the city of La Crosse providing ambulance to city residents. And if that's needed, that certainly would be provided to those other municipalities around us. Going back to this slide, you know, I have had a lot of people say, well, you can't do this without increasing property taxes. You have to remember the city of La Crosse has a $65 million budget. $32 million of that comes from property taxes. The balance comes from other revenue sources to the city of La Crosse, so the property taxpayers actually pay less than half of what the city budget truly is. We actually have two budgets. One is an operating budget and one is a capital budget. The capital budget is a $6.5 million revolving 10-year capital budget. In other words, we actually have $66.5 million, which are borrowed, which is borrowed money. In each and every year, we pay off $6.5 million and we borrow $6.5 million. And within that $6.5 million, we pay for things such as training costs. We pay for things such as infrastructure, the things necessary to maintain a city the size of the city of La Crosse, which is the seventh largest city in the state of Wisconsin, by the way. And by doing that, the cost to the taxpayer is the debt service on that $66.5 million. And what that debt service is $12 or a dollar a month on a $100,000 home. That's not a whole lot of money when you're talking about all the value that you're getting from that $66.5 million being invested in the community. The training costs were in a previous capital budget, so there's no impact to next year's capital budget for the training costs to train the paramedics within this proposal. Those paramedics can be trained from capital budget money that has previously been borrowed within the city of La Crosse. In 2010, certainly, we're going to need some ambulance, and that ambulance is going to be coming within the vehicle and equipment account line, and that is going to have to be borrowed within the capital budget as well. But still, it has no impact. Your debt service is the same whether we buy an ambulance or whether we have an eagle watching area within the city of La Crosse or whether we have any other priority within the capital budget. And that certainly is something that's important as well. No impact, again. So really, the two largest line items in this proposal are already covered. I mean, certainly we are currently covering wages and benefits, and we are going to be covering the vehicle if this proposal is approved by the City Council. So what that means then is basically what you have is the operating costs. Those operating costs are going to be covered in 2010 by the revenue that's generated from the service. And really, in most cases in the City of La Crosse, I think we had 20 different communities which had a fire-based ambulance. Those communities all charge for the service that they provide. You don't necessarily have to charge. We could provide this. We could provide an ambulance within the city of La Crosse for free to the citizens of the city, or to the residents of the city and the visitors of the city of La Crosse. But that really is a policy decision by the La Crosse City Council, and I don't think they're going to do that, because then it would have an impact, certainly, on our budget, operating budget, negatively. But what we've shown here is that this budget that we're providing is a no-increase cost to the taxpayer, and it's a no-impact cost to our overall operating budget, I think, which is a very positive thing. In fact, in many cases, in many of these cities, they actually use the revenue that they generate from a fire-based ambulance to supplement the service that they provide for fire service within their communities themselves. It's one of the reasons why many of these communities have lower cost per capita for fire service than the city of La Crosse does, is because they're using their ambulance service as a means of generating revenue to supplement that service that's being provided. With that, I'll state.
Before Matt talks, I just want to mention that if you have not signed up to speak or to ask questions and would like to, please go over to the county clerk's table over there and get your name on the list, because if you want to be heard, we want to hear from you. So please do that. Matt Zawadzki is going to give the perspective of Tri-State at this point, and he's going to do it without a PowerPoint.
I think everybody understands our position. Just have some very brief comments. We want you folks to be able to be heard. We just had a brief discussion about the order of who should speak next, and I think it's important for you guys to speak. So I'm going to do this in 5 minutes or less, but I've been accused of speaking too quickly, so I'm going to try and speak at least a little bit more slowly than I normally do. Emily, thank you very much. Can everybody hear me okay? I'm the tallest person here, apparently, so I'll have to lean in. Gunderson, Lutheran, and Tri-State have spent more than a year in this discussion. We thought that there were parts of it that were very valuable, but it's time for you guys to have the opportunity to be heard. Mr. Doyle did a great job of summarizing the four principles. What he left out was that no proposal was supposed to move forward until there was consensus among the parties. And I think you'll find out after today that there is not consensus amongst the parties. Gunderson Lutheran is in the business of taking care of patients through broad continuum of care. We operate in a healthcare system. It's huge. It's very encompassing. Tri-State, a subsidiary of Gunderson, is part of that system. We, along with first responders, many of whom are here, we've got phenomenal paramedics, we've got great first responders, produce an awesome EMS system. Arguably one of the best EMS systems in the state, and I would say one of the best EMS systems in the country. No one's arguing that point. No one has yet to tell us what's wrong with that system. Gunderson Lutheran, Franciscan Skemp, other regional hospitals share in the medical oversight, the training, the medical control for Tri-State, and all the first responders. We work together as a system to provide high-quality care, as evidenced by the document that you all have in your hands. You can take time to read later if you have trouble falling asleep. You can read some of that. One of the best examples of that is our cardiac arrest survival rate. It's one of the only measures that we have in emergency medical services to evaluate how well we do. We do 100 other things. Yes, cardiac arrests are the smallest part of our call volume, but it's a very measurable result. It is a very measurable outcome. And EMS systems all across the country are compared to one another based on how many of you will survive if you drop dead right now in this room. The national average for a cardiac arrest survival rate walking out of the hospital is 5.2%. In this region, it is 16.7%. Last year, it was 14.4. It's better the first 6 months of this year than it was last year. We work together to continually improve that system. Finances. Tri-State's financial performance is only slightly better than break-even. I got to be honest, I would love to learn from the mayor how he's going to produce an ambulance for 5 years for $500,000, or in this particular case, $1 million. It costs us, and we're a nonprofit organization, $651,000 a year to produce one ambulance for the system. I can't wait to drill down some of that math. Gunderson Lutheran is not in the ambulance business for cost recovery. We're in it, and Tri-State is in it because it's part of our mission. The EMTs and paramedics that are here in front of you, you'll hear from perhaps, they're not in this for the money. They're not in it for cost recovery. They want to work in a system that they know produces outstanding care and does a phenomenal job, along with the first responders. Obviously, our commitment to the area extends beyond our core mission of ambulance service. Emergency medical dispatch has been talked about. Many of you in the room know that that was a slugfest. It shouldn't have been. It was a very incredible enhancement to the system. It was delayed and it shouldn't have been. At least it's in place. Great, it came out of mediation. A great opportunity to have that mediation process actually produce something fruitful. Delivering flu shots to people who are homebound and can't come to the clinic to get flu shots. That's another enhancement. And then obviously our bike medic team, many of the folks that you see here. So we have worked together at no cost and no risk to the taxpayer to bring that enhanced level service. And we will continue to do that. The key element here is that there's no risk. In a couple of occasions in Tri-State's history, because healthcare is what it is, we have not made any money. In fact, we operated in the red. When we've operated in the red, we didn't go to the taxpayers for money. We went to mom and dad, and they wrote us a check to keep the system afloat, to keep that high-quality service out there. So there's no risk to you guys as taxpayers, and there's no future risk. We initially suggested the concept of a regional EMS commission. We think it should be regional. Our service delivery is regional. Can't do regional, but we'll do county. We firmly believe that a county EMS commission made up of the appropriate balance of majority elected officials, healthcare experts who understand the healthcare marketplace, the economies of healthcare. Clearly, we need some help with that based on some information here this evening. We need to understand what the true cost of providing service is, and also physicians. We work under the license of physicians. They see our patients 30 times a day. They know better than anybody in this community what is happening in the pre-hospital arena. Every one of those EMS commissions that we've looked at from around the state and around the country have physicians on them. They are huge stakeholders. They represent you. You should have physicians on that commission. We feel a little strongly about that. Finally, we firmly believe that no one, no entity, not Tri-State, not the City of La Crosse, not Gold Cross, Orange Cross, whoever, should be guaranteed the opportunity to provide ambulance service to you. That is a privilege that we need to earn every day, and that anyone else coming into this system needs to earn every day and prove that they can do it in the same manner or a better manner than is currently being provided. We haven't seen that, and I don't think we've seen that tonight. Finally, the concept of more paramedics in the system. I'm not going to belabor the point. If you folks have questions, we can answer them for you. But studies have shown, recent studies, that the more paramedics that you have in a system, the worse the patient outcome. And I know that sounds weird, but when you are a skilled professional, you need to be able to do that skill often so that when the time comes, you can do it right and do it the first time. Whether that's assessing whether someone's really sick, or if they need an IV, intravenous line, if they need advanced airway, if they need a certain dose of drug compared to a different dose of drug, I want somebody who does that regularly. And in the systems that have fewer numbers of paramedics that are highly skilled, they have that type of outcome. We should expect that in this community. We have that today. You'll hear perhaps something, and you can ask about response times. Feel free, ask about response times, ask about true costs, ask about full cost accounting. If we can provide an ambulance service, one ambulance for $650,000, and we're a private nonprofit, nowhere near the expenses that city government has, you should be asking a lot of questions, not only of the folks here, but certainly of your city council members. So in closing, again, thanks for the opportunity. I'm going to turn the rest of my time over to you guys. I do want to say, though, that quite frankly, Mr. Mayor, spaghetti works for me, and I can't afford steak or lobster. So
all right, now is the chance for us to hear from you. As I said earlier, this is not your only chance. This is simply your first chance. There will be additional opportunities in the future at each governmental body's proceedings, the City Council and the County Board. We have a lot of people who have signed up to speak. The university would like us out of here by 9 o'clock, so I'm going to try to apportion this out. Give everybody 2 minutes to talk. If we have time, after we've gone through the whole cycle, if we want to speak again, and if we have time, we'll call on you again. If you have simply signed up and registered one side or the other, but now you want to talk, you have a question or you want to make a comment, I don't have your name on this list. You need to go over to the county clerk and get on the speaking list. I'm going to call people on the speaking list in the order that you signed up, so I will just run right down the list. So please come up to the podium up here and please state your name and your address so that people can hear who it is that's speaking. And our county administrator, Steve, why don't you come on up here? We'll have the timer so that we know when the 2 minutes is up. If you have a question, we found a job for him. If you have a question and you want to direct it to a particular person, feel very welcome to. There are two rules. One is the two-minute rule. The other rule is no personal attacks. I mean, I think this has been a very good presentation tonight. People have been very respectful in listening. Let's keep it that way. If people do make personal attacks, I've got my gavel. I'm going to cut you off. We've got a university police officer over there who will help you find the exit, but we don't want that. Let me call, first of all, Steve Gores is first on the list.
Good evening. 2 minutes, right?
2 minutes.
Okay. I will say I thought the gentleman from Gunderson and Tri-State said more in 6 minutes than the public official said in an hour and a half in terms of their conciseness in the presentation and common sense approach, but that's just an editorial comment. I do not agree that the process has been handled correctly or in an ideal fashion to this point in terms of public input. What I have a problem with is not that there were negotiations and candid talk amongst people back and forth that maybe the public shouldn't have been privy to, but I don't see any reason that Chief Cleveland's PowerPoint presentation or some form of it shouldn't have been shared with the public long ago. I see that there was no really impetus from the public about what this was about and why the need was there. Most good public policy decisions emanate from some public need, from the grassroots, some identification of a problem. Social Security is going bankrupt. We have a deficit at the state government level. What is the problem that is being solved here that we're searching for? Have you done any surveys of people who've had ambulance service from Tri-State who are dissatisfied? Have you done any public polling about how people feel about ambulance service in the area? Have there just been, you know, outreach to people who've had been serviced by Tri-State who are happy with it? What has been done to find out what the public thinks about the present service, not just saying, well, we could do better? So I think the best public policy always has the public involved on the front end, not after the policy and the presentation is formed. So I will say that. Number two, I'm always skeptical because there's a nationwide trend from going to public services provided by paid taxpayer employees to privatization. In this case, we're going exactly the opposite way. And again, the presentation from Gunderson Lutheran was concise. He was describing a very efficient
system.
Need
you to wrap it up, Mr. Gorse.
And I feel that most people in the community are very satisfied with the ambulance service that they have. And if you are going to say, and this is my last word, this is a crucial decision, this is a life and death decision, I think it should not be left to just the city council and the county board. It should go to referendum by the public. Okay, thank you.
Next is Bob Crooks.
Bob Crooks, 1831 LaFond, Campbell. I'm Campbell's supervisor. I'm also chair of La Crosse County Unit of the Wisconsin Towns Association, so I'm going to wear both hats this evening. I'm a little concerned. There are 16 units of government in La Crosse County that were never included in these discussions, only two, the county and the city. But there's 16 other units of government here, at least, that were never considered in this discussion. That bothers me. And as Mayor John Drew said, he has 42% of the population of the county. But the commission, this medical commission that you're looking at, has three people from the city of La Crosse, two people from the county, one county chair, or town chair. And I believe that the commission, if it's formed, is imbalanced. I do believe there should be more medical personnel on there also. That's about all I have to say, but I think that we're getting the best service possible from Tri-State, and I don't see a reason for a change. Thank you.
Thank you. Tom Fennell.
Good evening, Chairman Doyle, Mayor Johnsrud, members of the council, members of the county board. My name is Tom Fennell. I'm with Mayo Clinic Medical Transport. One of our subsidiaries is Gold Cross Ambulance. I'm here representing Gold Cross in the ground capacity. Gold Cross Ambulance was in La Crosse. Up until a few years ago, Gold Cross made a decision to depart the market in Gold Cross. Our decision was based on the fact that our parent company, the Mayo Clinic, and their hospital, Franciscan Skemp, had increased their capabilities here in La Crosse, therefore reducing the numbers of transports that were needed between La Crosse and Rochester. When we departed, we had meetings with Tri-State, We had meetings with them to show them our history and what we've done and what they could expect as an increase. After our departure, we were invited back to the city of La Crosse to meet with then Fire Chief Pete Stinson. We were requested to be the paramedic provider while the fire department trained paramedics to take over the ambulance service. Our response was very swift and very deliberate, saying absolutely not. You have a high quality provider here that's been proven in the clinical and operational measures. The other part of things that I'm here to represent is the city of Eau Claire and our Eau Claire County operation. When we were invited to be a provider in Eau Claire County, we were the second provider. The Eau Claire Fire Department provided service to the city, and we provided service to the county in a very fragmented EMS system. As time went on, the city of Eau Claire decided that they couldn't afford to not only do the city, but they wanted to do our territory as well. In effort, they pushed us out over a two-year period. Today, we struggle. We struggle to stay alive in Eau Claire County, just doing non-emergency interfacility transports. So I have to think back. If we were to stay here, and we would have made that decision to stay in the La Crosse market, we would have created that fragmented system that you're talking about today. That's not what the community needs. Thank you.
Thank you. Craig Nestor.
Not yet, Steve. 2 minutes, I could yawn 2 minutes. I'm Craig Nestor, 1521 Caledonia Street. I'm a Northsider. Where the Northside Council District will have no councilman appointed until April 08. But you can pull this out of the closet tonight and vote in it in 5 weeks. Go figure that one out. Tri-State could take their ball and go home, Mr. Doyle said tonight. Let me recent city mediation. Similar to be told to mediate with a developer for a price of your outdoor advertising sign, or if you can't come to terms, we will condemn your sign. That's what we're told here tonight. That's what these guys have been living with. That's the mediation that they've been living with. If you can't follow that train of thought, come on up to my shop on the north side and I'll put your head in a vise. It seems to me in this case, Tri-State really has no bargaining chips or recourse other than the decibel level of public outcry. Here the option is that you really have no power to stop a government-subsidized competitor. Allow me to illustrate a few disparities other than this P&L that we saw up on their screen tonight. Tri-State employees receive 4% employee contribution rates. City firemen receive 18.5% matching payroll contribution with a little bitty negligible disability policy. I want you all to stand up in here who work for a private sector and get 18.5% retirement contribution. Don't all stand at once, you'll knock each other over. You don't. Now you tell me up there and show me that voodoo Reagan economics that's going to work. And I'll sit with you at any quorum meeting that you have and I'll debate with you, Mr. Mayor, and anybody up there. It isn't going to work. Go home and run the galdarn numbers. Go run the numbers on a $55,000 fireman. Go run the difference between these guys and these guys. These guys are wonderful. I'll tell you what, I take the 18.5 too. But we can't afford it anymore.
Jim Yowell.
Jim Yowell, Village of Holman. Okay. There are several things that bother me. First of all, only politicians are going to appoint the people that are on this board. Every one of them is a politician, not a private citizen. And the one private citizen is going to be appointed by another politician. I don't understand your logic, but then government never does. The other thing I want to point out is that two-thirds of the people that signed your sheets are against it to start with. And I hope you were listening instead of dragging this on forever. And where does the growth going to come from in the city of La Crosse? You're hemmed in. And you say you're going to have so much growth, you're going to get an ambulance. And it could be done cheaper by private industry.
What I'm going to do is to read two names at a time, so we'll have the one person who's going to be speaking and the next one who knows they're on deck so that people can be ready, was the suggestion that was made to me. I think that's a good one. So next up is Dave Drews, followed by Mitzi Parr.
Thank you. There are a number of things that I don't seem to be very clear on. The growth of the county is not in the city of La Crosse, so why should the city of La Crosse get an ambulance? That just doesn't make any sense. If there is to be another ambulance added, it probably should be out in the county and belong to whoever's doing that, in this case, Tri-State. Talking about dividing up the paramedics so that there are some working in the city and some for the other ones. If I go to a doctor, I don't want one just fresh doing my surgery the first time. I want one that's done a lot of times. And I think that was a very good point made that the paramedics that are working need to do regular things. It seems to me that we have a very simple system that's working very well, no taxpayer dollars involved, and now we want to make it very complicated. It just is, again, a typical government involvement that just doesn't make sense. Please vote against this.
Next is Mitzi Parr, followed by Douglas Quinn.
My name is Mitzi Parr, and I'm at 1632 Travis in the city of La Crosse. And I'm going to talk as a health provider in the past, now retired. I have two questions. One of them would be for, I guess, Tri-State, and I'm not sure who's going to answer the other one. I'd like to know, first, my first question is there any way...
Matt, you need to listen to this. This question's for you.
Well, no, this one will be for... whoever figures it out, it probably is Tri-State and the other, or the city. I want to know if when somebody is calling into 911 and it's for a patient who has fallen down or a person who has fallen down and they are drunk, why you have to have three or four different vehicles at that site, one being Tri-State ambulance, one being the paramedic, one being the rescue squad, one being the fire department, and the other one being a policeman. I haven't figured that out yet, and that's pretty costly. I'd like to see that broken down. The second one is, I think we have a health department in the county of La Crosse. I've had one for a long time. Why does Tri-State have to give flu shots in the homes when those public health nurses can do that? You know, you're talking about cutting costs. That's the two questions.
Okay, who wants to take the first one?
I can take both real quick. The reason that we send multiple resources to the scene is honestly because in many cases they're available and they might as well go. A lot of systems, and what we're looking at is for the non-emergency, even the 911 calls, a lot of them aren't emergencies. Do we really need to send all those resources? A lot of communities don't. I know they're talking about that in Appleton and a lot of other areas. I know that Houston County has approached us about priority dispatching and whether or not first responders should actually go. It's a local community decision. If the city of La Crosse wants to go to medical calls, they should go to medical calls as long as they're not incurring any additional cost for going to that medical call, and in this case they're not. The flu shots, we talked to the health department. They don't have all the resources available. We were supplementing them.
Thank you.
Anybody else need to answer?
Typically, the fire department responds on first responders, as I talked about before, in terms of our infrastructure, in terms of providing timely response. A lot of times, after the fact, you may find out that alcohol is involved, but on many occasions, alcohol is masked, and the person actually may have a very serious diabetic condition. And for anyone to simply assume that a person is drunk is, is an appropriate attitude to go into until you can verify that and deal with it. So this is a medical problem until ruled out otherwise.
Douglas Quinn, followed by June Knutson.
Thanks, Dave. Doug Quinn, 1017 25th Street, South La Crosse. I've been a CPA in La Crosse for 30 years, so I'm interested in the numbers. I have not one way or the other on this. My wife just said there's a meeting tonight. Let's go. I came. CPA also stands for cut, paste, and assort. I don't understand two questions. First, $651,000 for one ambulance. You can't be in business. No wonder you're a nonprofit then. You can't do it. That's a bogus number. Number two, Mayor John Drew, why would you increase the capital budget 19%, spend $1 million, $1.2 million. Now you can't just say the interest is costing the taxpayer. That $1.2 million has got to be paid out. Why would you increase the capital budget 20% basically, and maybe third year have $300,000 of income on $65 million budget? You're gaining your budget $300,000. Why would you do that?
The capital budget is, again, we borrow $6.5 million and pay off $6.5 million. We prioritize within that $6.5 million. We're not increasing the capital budget. It remains the same dollar figure, $6.5 million. It's prioritizing within the capital budget. Certainly, this is prioritizing against other projects within the city of La Crosse. I think the biggest issue here that people aren't seeing is the fact that paramedic first response is the difference between EMT and what this proposal is going to be providing. We're going to be providing a paramedic on every engine company within the city of La Crosse at four fire stations, so that when a person calls, irregardless of how long it takes for the ambulance to get to a person's home, they're going to receive paramedic care
within the city. If you go into this with the idea of you're going to break even, guaranteed you're not going to break even. That's number one. Number two, that $300,000 you're taking away from Tri-State, will that put them close to being out of business or have them operating cash problems?
Doug,
your time is up. I'm going to let them answer their question, though.
We based the ambulance proposal on increasing demand. Certainly, there's increasing demand within the city of La Crosse as well, and maybe people don't understand that, but there's an awful lot of service that's provided. There's over 4,000 calls each and every year within the city of La Crosse. We're really only looking at 1,000 of those calls each and every year. And there is increasing demand within La Crosse County. It is a county proposal. This just isn't a city of La Crosse proposal. I mean, we've indicated that we're willing to cross jurisdictional boundaries to provide this level of service. But the only way to provide paramedic care as first response, as 20 other major cities in the state of Wisconsin provide, is to be able to pay for that through an ambulance service, because otherwise it becomes a tax liability. And that really is the difference between spaghetti and steak, or steak and lobster, is the fact that we're going to be providing paramedic EMT service to the city of La Crosse on a day-in, day-out basis, 24/7. The ambulance itself is certainly a vehicle or a tool to be able to train those paramedics, as well as a tool to recover costs. But really the service that we're advocating here is a service which currently isn't being provided within the city of La Crosse, either by Tri-State or La Crosse Fire Department.
And to answer the question about the cost, love to sit down with you, call me, I'll show you our actual expenses. When we take all of our expenses divided by the number of ambulances that we have on duty 24/7, those are 8.5 paramedics to staff one ambulance. So you got to take all those salaries into account, medical supplies, depreciation on the truck, 651. And love to talk with some more folks if you want to about the paramedic service that's not being provided in the city of La Crosse on a timely basis.
And okay.
Mark, I don't want to turn this into a debate.
I don't want a debate here, but I do. I think that there needs to be an understanding. When you look at the salaries up here, we already pay these individuals What we're talking about is the increased cost for them to provide paramedic care. So in other words, I don't have to hire 12 more people to have an ambulance. I've got them on staff already. They're going to be dual firefighters and paramedics.
Okay, next is June Knutson, followed by Rick Barton.
My name is June Knutson. I live at 3205 Glendale Avenue, La Crosse. I'm a retired RN. I have followed this pretty closely, and I would like to ask Mayor Johnsrud and the other folks who say we're going to enhance the quality of care. Is there documented evidence that we currently have a problem with the quality of care we have? I've had the opportunity, I don't know if it's an opportunity, or I have at many times called an ambulance for relatives, friends at our church. Fire department has come. They've been wonderful. Tri-State has shown up. They've been wonderful. It's either six or seven times, and they're not too many years ago. Not one single person had a problem with the care. They all came home from the hospital. Tri-State has done a wonderful job. As a taxpayer, I currently pay about $5,000 taxes on the home we live in, and I don't want any more. Thank you.
Thank you.